Oregon State obviously has been in a rough spot this year. There's no doubt about that. And I got to make sure that, you know, what does the future look for Oregon State? Ryan Harlan of Beaver's Edge is going to join me on this conversation. And I really got to get to the bottom of this. Obviously, losing to Sam Houston, is that the absolute floor? Is that the death wish of maybe Scott Barnes, the athletic director? Obviously, firing Trent Bray in the middle of the season was quite a interesting kind of conversation as well. Ryan, where are you after covering Oregon State every single day? I know you had a crazy weekend covering the men's and women's basketball, then going to Sam Houston, and that one, that loss obviously was a crazy way to end it. But Ryan, where are you right now with the state of Oregon State athletics?
I mean, in terms of football in particular, a beat that I started out with 5 years ago, writing for the student paper here at Oregon State, this is the first time in that span where I am genuinely excited for basketball season to start. Football, the end of football season can't come fast enough. Like, be quite honest, like that's how it's been. And that's kind of the sentiment that a lot of us around covering the team feel. It's just more of the way that this season started with the expectations of this group. 8-4, 9-3 is what we had. And unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be the the exact opposite in terms of records. I mean, realistically, like on paper, this group should have more wins than what they have, but you know, that's why you play football, right? Like you play the games, and ultimately you get to this point in the year where, I mean, with the firing of Trent Bray, like you had to make that call. Like, it caught me off guard at the time, but you had to make that call. You're kind of now on an interim basis with Rob Akey, and you're just trying to salvage what you can in a year that had so much promise, yet is kind of a lost season at this point, is the best way that I can kind of put it. And even with two games left, like the excitement's not really there. It's like you're going on the road, you're playing Tulsa this weekend. Oregon State, in my time, has struggled playing on the road. I mean, this should be a Tulsa team that you should beat. But then again, we said that about Sam Houston last week, and look how that turned out. And then I just don't see the Beavers pulling out a win on the Palouse in Pullman either. Like, it's been so long, too, since Oregon State's won up there anyway, and it's a tough place to play in, especially in November. Yeah, just one of those kind of years where you're trying to find the positives, but there are not a lot that you can really hang your hat on.
Yeah, that's fair. And that's a fair way to put it. I'm going to kind of let you go in a little bit deeper in this, if you don't mind. I know that you're probably sick of talking about this football team. As you mentioned, you're excited that basketball season is here. But of course, the firing of Trent Bray is one thing that happened. And that's probably what the biggest, if you're listening to this and you're not an Oregon State fan, maybe you're just a Pac-12 fan or a college football fan as a whole. If you had to pinpoint one thing about this season for what went wrong, obviously you talk about how the roster, you think this team should be winning a lot more football games. And I completely agree. If you had to pinpoint one thing that went wrong, what was it with this Oregon State roster?
There are so many things that you could point to. And I look back at fall camp and what we were saying, which was the offensive line definitely was an issue early on. They seem to have figured some things out now. I would say a little bit in roster construction. There are also off the field things too with players as well, with excess airs and that situation going on there. And then just kind of the way that this team started out with their schedule too, with playing Cal, with playing Texas Tech, losing the way that you did to Fresno, Houston, Oregon, and that is what it is there. That was no contest. Like, we need to stop pretending that rivalry means something, because it's essentially turned into a payday game. That's how I feel about that now. I mean, you don't have to deal with that rivalry anymore in 2026, but resumes back up in 2027. And then just the whole 0-7 losing streak up until Wake Forest. So I think really a calamity of things played a role in kind of everything. I think Trent Bray, to a degree, was very much overstretching himself in terms of responsibilities. I think he should have hired a true defensive coordinator to handle play calling duties. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20, but you know, there's just a lot of things that I think you can point to as to what went wrong with this group. And ultimately, you will have a new slate, blank slate, hopefully in 2026 to bring in a new coach and try and generate some excitement around this program again, because the excitement's gone down from the start of the year till now. And you know, losing games does that. Like, it's not fun. As a reporter, like, it's more fun to talk about when the team's doing good versus when they're not. It's just the nature of the business, right? Like, as much as I want to talk about the fun stuff, it's like there's also the other side of, you know, the off the field things that you have to talk about surrounding this athletic department, and then just the way that this team finds themselves in and their current record.
Yeah, I completely agree. I want to get into the coaching search in just a minute, but you brought up a couple things that are itching in my head that I have to ask you. You talk about, you know, covering this team, or you have to talk about the things that involve not always the on the field issues, but things off the field as well. And one thing that obviously has been a huge change in all of college athletics is NIL, transfer portal, you name it. With Oregon State being, I guess if you want to call it, left behind with the old Pac-12 heading into the new Pac-12, with all the teams going to either the Big 12 or the Big 10, and Oregon State and Washington State left behind in that essence, if you will. I hate using that term, but let's just call a spade where it's at. Do you feel like there is an issue with recruiting or transfer portal? Maybe the Oregon State's a little bit behind, or do you like where they're at? And I guess the reason that I'm asking you that is because they made a nice push for a quarterback this year, Malik Murphy. They went and picked up and spent some money on him. Obviously, that didn't really work out the way they hoped it would. But it seems like there's still a little bit of momentum where they're willing to go and get maybe a big fish out in the pond.
Yeah, getting Murphy was really big. Like, it was, at the time, on the level of getting a DJU in 2023. Yep. Now, maybe the fit in terms of offensively what you were looking for if you're Oregon State probably was not the best fit in terms of the scheme that offensive coordinator Ryan Gunderson was looking to run. Now, Danny Langsdorf, at this point in the year, since Gunderson's no longer calling plays. But in general, I would more credit that to Damnation and those that ran Damnation previously before Damnation was bought by the third party entity, Blueprint Sports. I did a whole deep dive into that because Daniel Levitt of Sportico wrote an article on the agreement of this third party deal with Damnation. And to kind of make a long story short, in terms of four deep dive articles I did on this that took up a lot of my time, essentially, Oregon State's deal was not good at all. The only real comparable deal that you could really say that was out there was Maryland. And even then, Maryland's was more advantageous towards them. And Blueprint was losing money on the deal. Oregon State was giving up 75% from a floor of $750K to $1.15 million and then $1.15 and above. It's a 50-50 take. So in that article, Levitt had a hypothetical scenario, say like $3 million, right? Blueprint would be taking about 1.5 to 1.75 with all fees, contracts, stuff, and everything like that involved in it. So that makes the NIL situation worse at Oregon State and takes what those that had ran Damnation beforehand, Kyle Bjornstadt and his team there, like, it loses a lot of trust in NIL here at Oregon State because of that. Like, And that's one of the things where, you know, that really impacts recruiting. Definitely, I think going forward, it not just impacts football, it impacts every single sport here on campus. And to me, that really kind of hurts your sales pitch of bringing in guys in this day and age and kind of having to work more with less. But also, like, NIL aside, right? Recruiting to Corvallis is hard. Like, that is the big thing that, you know, I've noticed across a lot of programs here at Oregon State. I mean, you have Oregon just down the road, 45 minutes away. Right. And I understand, you know, how recruits operate, especially in this day and age. You know, you want to go to the big schools, you want to go to the big programs. But you're also not guaranteed playing time too at the same time. And Oregon State's made a sort of career on getting those kind of overlooked high school recruits, those 3 stars, 2 stars, in the occasional 4-star, and then kind of building them up into really solid NFL players. Like, that's just kind of what they've, you know, done. And now I know the game's changed and you kind of need to, you know, work the transfer portal as best you can and try to work through free agency at this point. But I just, yeah, it's more of a, whoever's the new next head coach needs to be a really good recruiter to bring in a lot of talent, because my guess is with once we get to the offseason, I feel like for Oregon State and the transfer portal in 2025, it's going to be kind of similar to 23, but just in a different sense of situation, rather than being the collapse of the Pac-12 as we knew it, versus you have a new head coach coming in, new staff, you're, you know, maybe not necessarily guaranteed playing time, a good fit, or you're already looking on for your next school because the season's not gone the way that you thought it was.
Yeah, no, you're right. And just put in perspective, I mean, Washington State went and hired Jimmy Rogers this past year, and he brought in 75 new players. That could be exactly what Oregon State might be heading into this year, with obviously the firing in the middle of the season of Trent Bray, and then looking for their brand new coach going into year one of the new Pac-12 that's starting in July of 2026. Not only as a writer for Beaver's Edge here, but as an alumni of Oregon State that you told me off the air there. So I want to make sure that, you know, you're an alumni and a writer there. So you obviously have a lot of stock in the Beavers. When you're looking at the football coaching search and you're looking at who can replace Trent Bray, obviously Rob Ackey is being the interim coach at this moment. He's got you 2 wins. Obviously that's not enough to get to a bowl game or anything in that case, and not that he had the opportunity to do so. Anyways, how big of a splash does Oregon State have to get with this head coaching? And Scott Barnes, obviously being the athletic director, there's been some criticism around him. He brought up the NIL with the Blueprint Sports and all that fiasco, and of course about him potentially being the guy who makes the decision for the head coaching job this time around. What kind of splash needs to happen for Oregon State to make sure that they are one of the top teams in the new Pac-12 starting in 2026?
I would say that in terms of splash, you're not going to get like an Ed Ogeron, right? Like, I think you need to take, you need to take a calculated risk, right? And that kind of calculated risk to me, I think, is more of a like, hey, let's probably like, you know, get maybe a young and up and coming coach and in the FCS ranks, or even to a coordinator at a power four school, lower power four, mm-hmm. or group of six. Just somebody that's kind of a, you know, different voice in the room, I think, versus like this whole kind of Oregon State, like former players thing. And that's not to say that, like, you know, Oregon State programs have not had success with that. Like, baseball has, definitely. Like, Mitch Canham has been a home run hire, for pun intended here, for the baseball team. But like, I think you just need a new voice in there that can come in, generate excitement, like an Eck that has done for New Mexico, right? Like, I have family from New Mexico, and like I've told them, like, this is not the New Mexico team that you know of. Like, this is a team that's drastically improved, and Eck is the driving reason behind that. So somebody that can come in and just make football fun again. Like, Oregon State fans, I've noticed, are very passionate about football when the team is doing well, and then when the team is not doing so well. And to me, like, that's just something there where if you get the right guy to harness that energy and kind of and get butts back in seats, like, I think you can have some positive momentum. And it's a real big onus where Scott Barnes really does need to nail that hire, because, like, the scrutiny is warranted. It comes with the job. It comes with the paycheck. But, like, with how everything has gone so far in 2025, with the off the field stuff, with Blueprint, with everything, like, you need to hit the ground running in year one, if you're Barnes, in terms of nailing this hire, because otherwise, like, it, I think the seat grows hotter. Like, just kind of putting it bluntly there, like, it's really, like, I don't think you can afford the safe hire. As much as Trent Bray didn't pan out, didn't work out as a head coach, like, that's just kind of, you know, how it is.
Lots of stuff to be excited about, I think, for Oregon State, at least in the near future. If they get the home run hire, as you mentioned, with the baseball coach, can they do it with the football coach? That'll be the other thing. Do you like the idea of them? I know you brought up Eck at New Mexico. This isn't this perspective, but do you like the idea of maybe following the same route of what Washington State did with Jimmy Rogers, hiring a successful FCS coach and then bringing in maybe those kind of players to kind of jumpstart Oregon State back to relevancy?
I am actually okay with that. I am more on board with that than I think I would have been had Rogers not, like, you know, done what he's done so far in the season, sure. Right? That's why you play football. That's why you figure out, you know, how well a coach is going to do in his first year. So I'm more open to that. It's, I think, going to be a challenge to maybe pry a Brent Vegan away from a Montana State. Because I know Wazoo went after him and mm-hmm. he said no. So I think it's going to be a challenge, but, like, I am more okay with that, on board with that, than I think I probably would have been. That's just kind of just seeing what Jimmy's done up there in Pullman. But for maybe the rest of the fan base, there might be some apprehensiveness a little bit, and it may not necessarily be the most flashy pick for them, but, like, then again, we probably said that about Jimmy when he was first hired, yeah. And then look what he's done so far in year one, going toe-to-toe with UVA and Ole Miss on the road. So, yeah, it's just, I think you're gonna have a tough ask to try and get, like, you know, Vegan away from Montana State, which is a name that we've heard connected to this job, in addition to some other FCS coaches as well.
Oregon State's coaching job is going to be fun. I mean, there's 12 FBS schools right now wide open, and I think Oregon State might be one of the most fun ones to pay attention to. Might not be the most prestigious, but I think it could really change the landscape of entire how we see the new Pac-12 next season. More than Colorado State, in my opinion, I think Oregon State really decides what happens to the new Pac-12 when it comes to coaching ranks. Ryan Harlan of Beaver's Edge from On3, let everyone know where they can find you, what you got coming up here on the show.
Yeah, you can find all my work over at beaversedge.com. We're also running a coaching special too for anybody that's looking to subscribe to view my work. I mentioned the Blueprint stuff that's up there on the site. $1 for 7 days for new members. And then also all my posts, any news, updates, things like that over on Twitter, over on X, Ryan_Harlan7. That's where posts, updates, everything for any games that I'm at. So football, basketball, baseball. So that's kind of where you can find everything there. And I know we were talking off air about the Sam Houston.
Oh yeah.
Tweets. Like, I'll mention this. It's like, it's just having fun in a year where, you know, it's a lost season. You try to find the fun where you can and enjoy the moments of it. Like, in the men's basketball game against UIC. I had a fun little just thing that I dropped just because I was like, you know, try to find some enjoyment in basketball right now where you may not necessarily be getting that out of football at the moment. But then again, football's been my beat for 5 years. It's my job. It's like, all right, just power through. You got two more games and then that's it. You're into the off season, a lot more excitement. You got a coaching search. You're going to figure out who's going to be the next head coach, who they're going to hire on staff, what players they're going to bring in, who stays, who goes from this current roster. So there's a lot more excitement for me, I think, in the off season than it is for kind of the final two games. And that's just more of a like, hey, like you just kind of just see what happens going forward on Saturday against Tulsa and then to close out the year in the second leg of the Pac-2 championship.
Pac-2 championship for the last time before it becomes the new Pac-12 back in July of 2026. And for the record, your funnies and your memes on Twitter are like a little bit of a therapy session right now for Oregon State fans. Take it as you will, because I really enjoy that as well. You mentioned Tulsa, 10 a.m. Pacific time, ESPN Plus. You got an early one on Saturday. And for all your work on On3, it's going to be in the show notes below. Click that link and check out that awesome promo, because Ryan and all the guys at Beaver's Edge does a fantastic job. That's going to do it for here, right here at the Pac-12 Daily. We'll see you back here next time. Take care.